Those that hunger and thirst, yeah, go ahead. We can greet him as he works his way up. Amen. I'm just purposing to be a student like all of you here tonight. Reverend Tony, if you'll come and give us the word. Thanks.
Praise the Lord. Good to see everybody tonight. Thank y'all for coming to church. You obeyed the word.
Amen, amen, amen.
Well, maybe we can just start off with praying here. Father, we honor you tonight. Thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity to minister the word. And we just thank you now, Father, that we're full of you. And so all that you want spoken out, thank you for utterance to do that. Everything that you want ministered, we thank you that it'll be spoken tonight. In Jesus' name, we look to you and we thank you, Lord, that as we hear the word, that we are doers of the word and obedient to your word. And we thank you now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight I'm probably going to be talking on several different areas. It won't be just one thing. So you can kind of look at it as snapshots of different parts of your life that we can cover. And at some point I'm going to ask Reverend Vanessa to come up and help me. But we're going to get started with love. You know, that's the crux, that's the foundation of our salvation. For God so loved the world is what John 3:16 says that he gave. He didn't have to love us. I mean, he just did not. We started off wrong. Right from the beginning, sinned right from the start. He could have just left us right there. But the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So let's talk from the love chapter. If you turn with me, 1 Corinthians 13. And we're just going to flow with the Spirit of God. Love's always a good place to be. So let's just start right from there. I'm going to, if you can put that up in the Amplified, I've scribbled so much in this Bible, I can barely read this part. So we'll just look at it together from here in the Amplified. Can you all see? Okay. If I can speak in the tongues of men and even of angels, but have not love, that reasoning, intentional, spiritual devotion, such as is inspired by God's love in and for us, I am only a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. Nobody wants to be around people that just, they only talk it. You know, they only talk it, but they don't live it. The love is not there. From every one of us ought to come a genuine love, first off for God, and then for one another. If the world should walk in any place, it should be this church. Every church, and it should be, but it should be the church of God where people can walk in and see love demonstrated. Let's keep going. Even if I dole out all that I have to the poor, and providing food, and if I surrender my body to be burned, or in order that I may glory but have not love, God's love in me, I gain nothing. So the Lord is telling us there that the love, his love is already in us. It's shed abroad in our hearts, according to Romans 5. The love of God has been shed abroad. So if you say, well, you know, I just can't love her. Soon as I see her, something turns in my stomach, or he really bugs me. I don't know why he does things the way he does, or on your job, you know, I dislike my boss a lot. You know, you've got a love issue, and it's not that the love hasn't been shed abroad. It's shed in your heart. It's there, but you have to stir up the gift, that love, and it's a fruit. You have to stir that love up, and decide to be honorable and love as the Bible has taught us to love. Love endures long and is patient and kind. love, God's love in me endures long and is patient and kind. This is who God is. God is in us, so then this love is in us.
That's right.
Love is not envious, nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily. It is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It is not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights or its own way. For it is not self-seeking, it is not touchy, or fretful, or resentful. Whew, that's a lot, isn't it? You know, but that's our life. That's who we are. That love is in us. And, you know, if you're having issues about this person and that person in your life or in your church or in your home, you know, your spouse, or if you're a young person or a child and your parents, love is what God is. And that's what we're to do that. He can help you with that. And one thing I would encourage everybody to do is, you know, at least once a month, go through this chapter. Just read through this chapter, the 1 Corinthians 13. And man, it'll just keep you on the right track for how to love and you know, loving correctly. It does not rejoice, is verse 6. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Wow. Comma. Right there. I mean, how often is it that you draw the wrong conclusions about people? It's the world we live in. It's life. You know, I've dealt with it, and the Lord has said, you judge the book by the cover, and you were so wrong. You know, and I was like, yes, Father, I was wrong, and help me. So, I mean, we all miss it in these areas, but more and more and more, you know, as we grow up in Christ and as we mature, our love walk needs to be less and less challenged because the love of God is shed abroad in us, and he's taught us to love so we can love. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes, is ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances, and it endures everything without weakening. Love for my wife never fails. Love for my boss never fails. Love for that sister that just, I'm not sure what it is, you know, but It never fails. For that brother, for any situation, you know, God did not have to send Jesus for us. He looked at us, we were wretched, undone, nothing lovely about us, but he saw love in us. So he went that far to give his only son. Certainly, whatever love issues you're having, it's worth putting under. It's worth resisting the devil every time he comes. And you get that thing under your feet and you say, I'm gonna love. If you got an issue with somebody, do something nice for them.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
Do something that you wouldn't normally do. Sure. Go out and buy them a gift purposely, on purpose, go and buy them something and present it to them. Resist the devil, tear that thing down. Look at the world. It's hate, full of hate, full of fear. That's what the devil is doing. You know, he's the god of this world right now, and his thing is terror, fear, hatred. It ought not to be named among us as the saints. And I want to go down to this one scripture. Before I even got out of bed this morning, this particular scripture came to my mind. And let me find it. When I was a child, verse 11. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Let's read that in the Amplified. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But now that I'm maturing in Christ, now that I'm growing up, the stuff that used to trip me up, I just won't let trip me up. You know, now that I'm maturing and being a doer of the word, you know, I put all that stuff away. So let's grow up in this area of our love walk and love one another. Like I say, you got an issue with somebody, do something for them. That's right in the face of the devil. So there you go, devil. I resist you. And I'm serious. Do something for them. You know, we ought to be doing stuff for each other all the time anyway. Remember, I grew up in church and we used to call it the Pentecostal handshake. When's the last time you gave somebody a Pentecostal handshake? When's the last time you've done something nice? When's the last time you invited somebody over to your house? When's the last time you took someone out for a meal? Doesn't have to be a lot. When's the last time you handed somebody a necktie? Or ladies, a scarf? I mean, it's always good to do good. It's always good to do good. And the Bible says do it especially unto those who are of the household of faith. And we are of the household of faith. So let's be loving. Let's get this one under our feet. This love thing. We love because God so loved us that he gave. And love is a giving thing. We give. You're not truly loving if you haven't let go of something. You haven't given something. Love is, its action is giving. Praise God. Amen. Amen. I did want to say this at the beginning. This is a statement that Brother Kenneth Hagin made, Kenneth E. Hagin. The only secret of success I know is walking in line with the Word of God, praying, and listening to the Holy Spirit. I simply listen to what the Spirit of God says to do, and then do it. The answer is always right there. We're spirit-filled people. The answers to whatever's going on in life, it's always right there. If you would just slow down and just listen, just sense it. And the Lord will tell you what to do. I'm talking about love still. That person that you have some issue with. Y'all know who I'm talking about. You know who it is in your life. Just take a minute and think about it. And there's something you can do about it. The Holy Spirit, if you listen, he'll tell you what to do. He said, you need to go to that person. You need to finally get this done once and for all. And then when you forgive and let go, let it go. Let it go. When the enemy brings it back again, you say, oh, no, I forgave him. I forgave her, you know. And then next week when the enemy brings it again, you say, oh, no, I forgave him. I love her. I love him. So let's be loving and kind one to another. Okay, I'm going to switch over. That was love. So let's look at another facet of our lives, worship. I want to talk just a little bit about how we can prepare ourselves when we're coming to a church service, when we're coming just really every day, you know, our lifestyle as Christians should be one of worshiping God. When you wake up in the morning, just turn your attention to him right away. Father, I love you. I honor you. You're instantly in the presence of the Lord as soon as you do that. It's not any people like, well, how do you get in the presence of the Lord? Father, you're so good. It's just that act of faith, and we are in his presence. One thing about preparing, and I'm talking about Sunday morning, Wednesday night, preparing to get ready for church. One thing, I'm somewhat convinced that people have an issue when it comes to praise worship. When they get in the church or get on their way here, they're already feeling condemned and upset about something that's already happened. And when you get in the presence of the Lord, somehow that just weighs on your mind. And you're like, I don't feel free to worship the Lord. Such and so, this thing just happened in my life. I acted a fool all week, you know, and then it's time to go to church and lift up my hands and do the holy thing. It is a holy thing. But, you know, I think we all need to know, you probably heard this statement before, but it blessed me when I heard it a few years ago, and I knew it, but it blessed me. And it's simply, God's not mad at you. He's not upset with you. He's not looking to try to pull you down or make you feel hurt or upset about something. If you miss it, go to him and repent. Turn that thing around, ask for forgiveness, and keep going. You know, it's already forgotten by him, although our brains want to keep bringing up, well, Father, I know I asked you already, but would you forgive me? And he's like, I just put up with this one. He's like, I just put up with him. I already told him as far as the east is from the west, you know, I've forgiven your sins, but we keep bringing it back up. Stop doing that. You know, believe his word. Believe what he says. The only secret of success I know is walking in line with the word of God. That means being a doer, living what we read, what we hear every week. Praying, just simply talking to God, and listening to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's on the inside, and he's always confirming what we need to do next, how we need to walk, how we need to go. So I thought that was a good tidbit. Now, as we talk about worship, like I said, get it straight, but then come in church, come with a purpose to worship God. And I know you all, because this is, as Pastor Tim says, this is the Wednesday night crew, and you're here on a Wednesday night, which is against the trend of most things that are going on in this world. You're here, so you're worshipers, and that's up. But I still encourage you, when you come in, come with a heart to worship the Lord. Come prepared to give out of your, it is emotional too. There is some jumping. Why not? We need to do that. The Bible says make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. You know, many come in and they run from the answer. They refuse to worship the Lord through because of condemnation or because of feeling bad about something, or they're upset about some bill. They don't know how this is going to happen. But coming to the Lord is an act, and praising him is faith in action.
Yes.
Praising God is faith in action. It's how faith manifests itself. For us to stand in this place or any place, lift our hands, close our eyes, and to praise a God who we do not see is an act of faith.
Yes, it is. Sure.
But we believe, and so we know it's right, it's true. Just come ready to worship. Come ready to deposit your supply. A really good picture of worshiping the Lord is in the book of Acts. And let's just go there really quick. Acts chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all assembled together in one place. That's wonderful. They all came, assembled together, one place. Sounds like unity. When suddenly there came a sound from heaven like the rushing of a violent tempest blast, and it filled the whole house in which they were sitting. So the invitation for that powerful activity was that they were assembled together and in unity. Yes. So when we come together on Wednesday night, Sunday night, assembled together, one mind, we can expect mighty things to take place, some of which we don't necessarily see, we don't know, but God's in the midst of our praises. The Bible tells us he's right in the midst of that. He congregates where unity is. So let's be unified. And there appeared to them tongues resembling fire, which were separated and distributed, and which settled on each one of them. And they were all filled, diffused throughout their souls with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other different foreign languages, tongues, as the Spirit kept giving them clear and loud expression in each tongue in appropriate words. So they came, they assembled, God showed up, and then they gave themselves. They were active.
Right.
It didn't say the Holy Spirit came and took over, but they began to speak. So there's a participation part when it comes to, you know, praise and worship. We've got a worship team and we've got a band and all that. And they are just helpers. I won't say just. They are helpers of us. They help us to, oh, that's what it looks like to praise God. Okay, let me get going with what they're doing. You know, that's what it looks like. But I can't praise for you. I can't worship God for you. I can't tell him and express your gratefulness. I can only do that for myself. So that's why we want to come in ready so that we can experience the power of God like this when we're all in unity and in one accord. And there's another scripture I wanted to read here. It's 1 Samuel 2:30, King James Version. So as you're preparing and coming to church, you're honoring God. This is honor. This is honor. Yes, that's the one, making sure. Wherefore, the Lord of God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me I will honor, and them that despise me I will lightly esteem. Many come in and they don't honor God. They don't lift the hands, and I understand it takes a while for some people to freely do that because they're so people conscious. I mean, it's really one of the main reasons is we're people conscious. That's why we don't take a run, because we're people conscious. That's why we don't jump, and because we're people conscious. Because if you were home, you know, and you gave yourself, you'd be freer, you know. But you know, don't be people conscious. You know, the people in here should be the people that you feel freest to worship God. If you won't worship him here, I know you're not doing much outside. You know, so, you know, be worshipers right here. But it says, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor. Them that despise me, I will lightly esteem. People that come in late lightly esteem the Lord.
You're right.
Or they don't honor him. You know, I get to see people come in. I don't really study that, you know, but every now and then, you know, I see people come in, and you see people come in late purposely because it's every week the same folks. It's like, looks like a trend.
Yeah.
You know, and a lot of times that's because they don't like the music. They don't like, you know, maybe they don't like me, I don't, whatever. But they don't, something, you know, people that do that, they're lightly esteeming God, they're not honoring the Lord.
And
those who don't honor him, he lightly esteems. You don't get all the great benefits that you would get if you honored him, if you honored him. You know, I wanted to say about just worship and praise. You know, people are so me conscious. I don't like that song. I wish they would do this song. I don't like that style. That's just not my style. Well, how about this? The worship, and this is key, the worship is for God.
That's right. Oh, yeah.
We come in here and we sing those songs. We lift up, but it's unto him.
Yes,
it says, come, the Bible says, come in, lift up holy hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord,
right.
Not you. Now, as a result of you singing this, you're renewing your mind, you're stirring your faith. Yeah, you're going to be blessed by it. But, you know, I shared with our worship teams, different ones I've dealt with in our particular team, you know, immerse yourself in the style of music that your church is doing. You know, whatever your church is doing, try to find something like that. You might be like, I don't like that style. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Whoever said that? It really doesn't, because we're not trying to please you. We're trying to please the Lord. And we're flowing in the direction that he's helping us to go. And it's like, So conform yourself.
That's right.
Submit yourself. Arrange yourself up under what's going on in this church. Stop looking at somebody else's church and go, but they do this and they do this style and they got this going and that going. Well, that's not what we're doing. Get comfortable with it. This is your church, right? So get happy with what's going on here and come and bless the Lord. It's about Him. It's about worshiping Him, not about pleasing yourself. And the Bible says, I'm going to read that again. Be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor, and them that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Them that despise, here's some words about what that means. Despise means contempt, scorn, disdain. Disdain means to regard as unworthy of one's notice or consideration. So when you come in, again, we're talking about worship, praise, the music. When you come in and you say, I don't like that, I'm not going to get with that, or whatever, you got some opinion, you're lightly esteeming, you're despising. It's not worthy of your consideration. You know, the worship is unto the Lord.
That's right.
Let's come in, let's worship the Lord, let's begin to love what's going on. Oh, yeah. Whatever the music is, let's just, you know, I love that.
Yeah.
God loves it, I love it.
Right.
Pastor's allowing that, I love it.
Yeah, that's right?
Right? Right. Amen. Amen. So that's the picture of unity, all coming together, worshiping the Lord in unity. All right. Let's see here. Let's go on to marriage. We'll talk about marriage a little bit. And I'm going to have Reverend Vanessa. I want you to kick this part off. Yeah. She said, oh, Lord. But we're going to talk about marriage a little bit, and I'm just going to let her start it off for me. You good? I'm going to turn this off. Get this out your way. Okay. Praise the Lord.
If you can bring up 1 Corinthians 13, please, again.
Since Reverend Tony already prayed, I don't have to do that again, right? And it's an honor to be here before the Lord and the church. When Reverend Tony told me about tonight, I wanted to back out, but don't you all want to do that too? So the scripture the Lord placed on my heart, I didn't tell Reverend Tony, he didn't tell me what he was going to, scriptures he was going to use. So the first thing is 1 Corinthians 13. Can I have verse 4, please? Love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious or boils over with jealousy. Is not boastful or vainglorious. Does not display itself haughtily. Like Reverend Tony just said, that's a mouthful. And we've been in marriage for 36 years. I know a little bit. I'm always encouraged to learn more. I pretty much stick to the rules. Once I learn the Bible way, I stick to it. I don't cross over. It's what the Bible says, and that's what I'm going to do. Which means I have to get rid of me a lot, a whole lot. There's another translation. I just want to read it. We don't talk much about it here, but it's the New Living Translation. It says, love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous, nor boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love, truth, always wins. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, endures through every circumstance. Marriage is so wonderful. It's so wonderful to be married to the right person. Now, I wasn't seeking out to have a husband. I guess I wasn't. I still got him. But in my years of growing up, I was 15 years old when I gave my life to the Lord. Somewhere down that line, we started talking and dating. But at some point during this time, I turned everything down, relationship with Tony, and it wasn't nobody else. So, and I started seeking the Lord because I wanted God. I wanted all God had for me, and I didn't want any interruptions. Single people, if you're in here and you're not dating, not looking to date, please give God 100% of your time. Face him. He'll put the right person in your life that's supposed to be in your life, that will stay in your life, that will treat you like God. You know, he treats us because God is love. You know, you hear people say different things about God and love, and they say, well, this bad thing happened to me, and God knows what he's doing. He had nothing to do with that. Seriously, because God is love. That's pretty much it. If you're engaged to be married, or, you know, things are looking positive in that direction, and you can still seek the Lord. Seek him. Talk to him. Be together on it. I mean, so many things you can get into, but let's stick with marriage. Marriage is wonderful. When we got married April 21st, 1979. It was Tony and I. We didn't have any children at the time. I'm not disdaining anybody that did. I'm not talking that way, but marriage is beautiful. You honor that person, your spouse. Love your spouse. Men love that attention. I heard Pastor Katie say it, and of course I didn't know her that well, but she's so right. That the husbands, they just love the attention, do everything for me, you know, it's all about me. Pretty much right. Bring me whatever. And you know what? I didn't have a problem with it. I never had a problem with it. You know, later on we had children, no problem. I put them first. I said this before and I'll say it again. You know, when time for dinner, and we're married, time for dinner, I got a couple of kids, and I make a meal, his plate comes out first. It's the way I was raised. I'm never going to change it. Well, we don't have kids at home now, but I still do that. I treat him the better. Sometimes there's lacking in our marriage, in some every area, he still got the first. It's just pouring out that love. For God so loved the world that he gave. And then I'm an example of Jesus. So I love Tony 100%. Now, there's times that, you know, he got on my nerve, I got on his nerve. So what? That happens all marriages. What do you do about it? Suck it up, honey. That's the only way I could put it. I hope there's some words in the scripture somewhere, but just suck it up. You don't need to talk about your husband to somebody else, and I don't need to talk about my husband, or he don't talk about me to other people. They never happen. I can't even remember. I don't remember ever calling my mother to say, Tony, really getting on my nerve. I never went to my parents. I went on my knees. It's the best answer. And then the Lord will put godly people in your life. Godly people are not people that are 20 years younger than you. Forget that. I'm not doing it. Give me somebody mature, somebody that's married, say your spouse is deceased and you was married 50 years, you definitely can help me. But if you've been married for 5 minutes, ain't going to work. Just not going to work. And talk to people that are mature. You got a pastor. Whatever he tells you to do, do it. You ever heard of people giving out advice on marriages? The next thing you know, they ain't listening to you. They ain't do what you suggested. They don't come to church. They don't listen to the archives. It's a marriage sermon, a marriage series. Things to help you in your marriage, and you don't want to hear it, you need help. Wow. You need help. And your pastor, your local church, is the best place to get it. It's the best place to get it. You miss church because something, whatever. If it's legal, okay. If you're sick and you're dying, still come to church. This is where your healing is, right? Your kids are giving you problems. And you want to see psychiatrists. This is where your psychiatrist is. Oh, this is not what I'm supposed to talk about. Marriage. Love your wife. Love your husband. Treat them with the best of the best. I always do. I'm not bragging. It's just what I did. I didn't know y'all before I came here, so I'm going to tell it to you honestly. I love Tony. I treated him with the best of everything that I have. And he gives me just as much. He treats me better than I treat him. And I think I do pretty good most of the time. Love your spouse. Whatever happened to holding hands? I see people got married recently. And they walk. One is way down there and the wife in here. Whatever happened, just hold their hands, hold their arms. I mean, if you marry under 5 years, you should still be on your honeymoon. Seriously. I'm not telling you to come in here and do whatever, whatever. But I am saying, hold hands. Walk your wife to the car. Tony opens my door 100%. Unless he's not home, my door don't get open. But he does it. It's love. Pastor Renee, it's love. He just does it. And you know what? I like it. And sometimes you don't have to do that, but he's still right there. I get out the car, he runs on the other side and try to beat me, you know, and I'm too quick sometimes because whatever. And he opens my door. You hold hands, you still love each other. Sometimes you got these other imps trying to get in between your marriage. You know who they are. And you know how to stop it. Just love your spouse. That person ain't visible, don't matter. I've had it 100 times. I can tell you the times I had it, and I was like, what do you do? And people would say, oh, you look like you beat the crap out of them. No, I look like that, I promise. I do, I like it. But what I learned to do is we talk in marriages. Communication is important, really important. Even when you're upset, okay, right now, we can't talk right now. Give me 15 minutes, let me cool off, or whatever. And then you go back and you talk. You make it work. Oh, yeah. Don't call me when you're mad with your husband, because I'm not going to answer my phone. I'm not going to give you any advice other than call your pastor, read the Bible. Right? That's my answer. So, love your spouse. If you're not married and you desire to be, it'll happen, because God said he will give you the desires of your heart. I always say that. I just believe it. Now, that scripture can apply in a lot of areas, but since we talk about marriage, stick with it. Married couples, stick together. The worst thing you can do is go in the grocery store and, oh, I saw A with J, but A and J not married. Something wrong with that. And you're holding hands and whatever that junk is. That's the devil. Stop that. Stick with your spouse. Love your spouse. Treat them the best you can treat them. Sometimes you don't have everything you want to give to that individual, but talk to the Lord. You know, sometimes Reverend Tony tell me some things, and I was like, I don't want to do that. I still do it. Then there are some things that I want. Most times he give it to me, but then I started going to the Lord now because I know that the Lord is my provider. He has avenues to do what he does, but he's my provider. And it just happened the other day, and I said, oh, I would like to. And I didn't tell him, and I went to the Lord, and I got it. So be encouraged in your marriage. Be encouraged to talk to one another. Be encouraged. Read your Bible together. Pray together. You know, support each other. You have issues. All of us do. I'm sure somebody that's been married longer than I have in here can say I have some problems, but if you deal with it the right way, you talk to God, get to your pastors, read your word, and whatever advice the Lord gives you, do it. You will do what your doctor said. You got 30 days to live if you don't stop eating fried chicken. I guarantee you, we'll stop eating fried chicken. But what about the word? You don't even give it due reverence it needs for your life. It's prescriptions for you right in the Bible, but you don't want to follow it. Maybe you do. Praise the Lord.
Praise God. Thank you, sweetie. Yep. Yep. Praise the Lord. When we were married, I knew early on that I wanted to treat her like a princess. I wanted to treat her like my bride. I still call her my bride. I've done it through the years for a purpose. I wanted to still see her as the woman I married in the beginning. You know,
you know, it, you know, guys have names. They, I don't, nobody in here would do that, but the old bag and, you know, the ball and chain and, you know, and then they become your wife. Yeah, and technically they are your wife, but I like more loving names. You know, I'm just lovable that way. You know, to for her to know, you know, of course that's going to be by my actions as well. But then for me to acknowledge that and say that in front of other people is a blessing. Your spouse needs to know that you are proud of them, that you really reverence them and honor them, that you think they look good. Your spouse needs to know that, you know. You know, when you when she's done her hair a certain way and she comes out and you don't say anything or you lightly, you know, esteem her, it's not good. Right. You know, we the person that needs to be built up the most in your life, that you need to be the builder-upper, is your spouse. Sure. Build your spouse up and just be loving. You know, marriages do, as time goes on, if you let it, you lose the tenderness, the touch and the warmth and the hugs and the putting your hand around. Don't do that. It's and if you're there and that's happening, it's not too late. Right. You know, the only thing that would stop you from changing that is your pride.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, nope, she don't do that for me, or I'm not gonna do that for her. That's pride. Yeah. That's pride. And it's not too late to turn it around. It's not too late to spark the fire. It's not too late. It's not too late, you know. Believe God for every facet of your life, not just for your finances, not just for your healing, not for, you know, your daily bread, everything, but even for your love life, for every part of your life. Believe God for it, for your health. Believe God for it. You know, we work out, we try to stay fit and stuff, but that's not without us keeping God first concerning our health. You know, we try to eat and we do this, but at the core of it is, thank you, Father, that you're my healer. You know, thank you, Lord, you're the strength of my life. You know, the word coupled with doing something, because the Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little, but it does profit, you know, so do something. I want to talk to husbands a little bit. can I get some water? Talk to husbands a little bit, and let's go to Colossians 3. This is good, everybody?
Yeah.
Getting fed?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Colossians 3. Philippians, okay, here we go. And go to verse 17. And whatever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Verse 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Wow. Just those scriptures right there wraps up the whole family life. You know, if we just do it. But I'll start at verse 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as it is fit in the Lord. A lot of time people are looking at daytime TV and reading novels that you shouldn't be reading. Looking at somebody else's life and going, man, my husband doesn't treat me like that, or my wife doesn't treat me like that. I don't think any of us would be looking at that kind of stuff and getting wrong ideologies about how to you know, live your married life. But people do that, and that's why we need to preach it from the pulpit. Wives, submit. It just means to arrange yourself under the plan of what your husband's doing. Submit. Honey, what do you think about this? Honey, what if we did this? Submit. Just means give. Just means give. You know, it's not this military, although it is, does have a military sound about it, or military definitions behind it of arranging yourself under like soldiers do and get in line and get going. That part is there too, because the husband is the head of the wife. We'll read that in a minute. But wives, just submit yourselves. Arrange yourself up under your husband. If he's lacking in an area, that's where you pray for him. You're to pray for him and not to nag, just as the husband shouldn't be a nag. But pray for your spouse. And there are scriptures that you can pray. Husbands can pray for the wife, and wife can pray for the husband. And I prayed this for my wife and continue to. Ephesians, the first chapter. We call it the Ephesians prayers. You've all heard that, the Ephesians prayers. Prayers that Paul, Apostle Paul, prayed for the saints. Well, your wife is a saint. So starting at the 16th verse, pray for your wife. Insert her name in that. So it's like, I never pray for my wife. Good. You need to hear this message, because you should be praying for your spouse. Spouses should be praying for each other. It shouldn't be a new idea. It's like, well, but I don't pray for him. Well, pray for him. And I think that starts out, Father, what is it, verse 16. I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto Vanessa the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of Vanessa's understanding enlightened. This way you're not praying your will, you know, what you want her to do or you want him to do, but you're praying the word of God, and the word of God will work in her life or in his life. You just insert your spouse's name. Also, Ephesians, the third chapter, I think round about the 14th verse, and I love, I think I'll look at that really quick here, Ephesians 3, because I think it's a great verse in here that husbands can pray for their wives. Ephesians 3, we'll start at verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Isn't that awesome? We're all named after Christ. So my name is Tony Christ Jones. What's your name? Christ. We're named after him. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be. This is what you can pray for your wife. Father, I pray for Vanessa that you would grant her, according to the riches of your glory, to be strengthened with might by your spirit in her inner man, that Christ may dwell in her heart by faith, that Vanessa, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth of the love of God, the length of his love, the depth of his love, and the height of his love, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. So what scriptures do you pray for your spouse? Ephesians and Ephesians. Amen. Pray for your spouse. You know, just be led. But let it be a regular thing. I remember years ago when I was working, a job outside of church, and Vanessa would have these particular prayers. She would pray over me. Prayers for you probably seen the books, or prayers for your spouse, or prayers for your husband. And it blessed me to know that she had helped me. I just felt like I was covered and surrounded by the will and plan of God, knowing that my wife loves me that much that she would pray to God for me, who hears and answers.
Yeah, that's right.
That just, you know, it it blessed our marriage too. It just, amen, you know, it kept us strong, or, you know, rooted, just like, she loves me. Wow, she prayed for me. So pray for your spouse. I want to talk about quickly about just three areas for men concerning marriage. And the first would be love. And if we can go back to that Colossians really quick here, Colossians 3 and verse 19. So husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. We've all heard this before. We've all heard our own Pastor Tim minister that along that line. Well, you know what? That's because the word is true. The one area the devil will try to come against a husband is to make him angry. I can't believe she did that. I'm so mad at her. It make you bitter. I remember years ago, preface this, being bitter. I remember it, and I would be bitter for a few days. And she'd have to do everything she could to try to appease me, to get me to come back on her side. And then we'd switch around. Then she would get upset. And that would last for 2 or 3 days. We learned how to stop the madness. We did. We went through that. We went through that period, and you all too. You've gone through that. It doesn't have to be, especially with Christians. It doesn't have to be. So be not bitter against them. How do you avoid bitterness? Praying for your spouse is one way. Loving, as he says over in, I think, we'll go there, over in Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5. And let's start at verse 21. Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ the Messiah. I'm an amplified version. Be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ the Messiah, the Anointed One. Wives, be subject, be submissive, and adapt yourselves to your own husbands as a service to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, himself the Savior of his body. Christ loves us so much. He's our daddy God, and he's our spouse. You know, for those that are single, he's your spouse. Single women, Father God is your husband right now. Single women, men, the Lord is your spouse right now. I used to tell my daughter, because she wanted to be married so bad, and she was 22, and she was 23, and she was 24, and it hadn't happened yet. She was 25. I said, April, at the right time, the Lord will bring your husband. You're in the oven. You're not cooked yet. Yeah. You're not ready. Just stay in there. Let the Lord work in you. He's your spouse. Love on him. Give him all your devotion, all your time, all your efforts, all your energy. Just stay with the Lord, and he's going to bring your spouse along. He's also in the oven, the guy that you're believing for. He's not ready yet. You know, so let the Lord cook. Let him bake. Let him add this. Take that out. You know, whatever's needed. And the Lord will bring them. And the Lord did bring, you know, her spouse, and they have 3 girls now. We just went to see them. But I just remember her being so wanting that to happen. And it's a good thing. Like my wife said, the Lord will give you desires of your heart. But the Lord is your spouse right now. And he so loved us all. He's been a wonderful husband to us. So husbands, the example for us is Jesus Christ himself. About how to care for your wife. So I have 3 L's. Love, which we've talked about. The second one is lead. You know, a wife needs a man that's going to stand up and be the leader of the home. So much of what's going on in the world today is because there's spineless men out. Sure. You know, not standing up, not working, not doing their part, not holding it up. The family's going on, but the wife has to make all the decisions, and, you know, he just tags along. But I say to you, all of us in here, husbands, if you're a husband and you want to be a husband, lead. Lead your family. Be an example. How do you do that? Maybe one area is just lead them in prayer. Be the one to initiate prayer time. Prayer time doesn't have to be a half hour. It can be, but it could just be 10 minutes. Sure. Don't overwhelm yourself with, I don't know how to do that. You pick a scripture, find the red, Jesus said it, and read it. Seriously, I mean, it just don't make it hard. Just don't make it difficult for yourself. And have a prayer time with your family. How else can you lead? You can lead in the area of discipline. You know, maybe the kids are all, everybody wants to do junk food and everybody's, you know, like this and, you know, and maybe you can be the one that initiates, hey, honey, let's try this. Let's do this. You know, be a leader of discipline. How you conduct yourself in your home. Show discipline. Show the kids, show the boys how a man is supposed to act and conduct his life. Lead. Be the spiritual leader, first and foremost. Be the leader that says, we want to go in this direction. Honey, what do you think? Now, get your wife's input. It's a teamwork. But boy, wouldn't it be nice when the husband is going, well, doing some initiating. I guess that's what I'm saying. The husband is doing some initiating. Because sometimes it's flipped around, where the wife is the initiator, the wife is the everything. And, you know, in some areas, you know, we had to learn what my strengths were, my weaknesses, her strength, weakness, and balance each other out. You know, figure out, oh, well, you handle that because you're really good at that, you know. Sometimes it just takes pride. I remember when I was doing the finances years ago, and I remember when I thought I had it together, but it just wasn't going, and I remember finally letting my pride go and say, Vanessa, why don't you do this and you try it. She did it, and it got so much better, and a weight lifted off of me. You know, so find out where each other, that very area that you think you hate the most about your spouse is the very area you'll learn to appreciate and love about your spouse. Because that happened in my marriage. Some areas that I just didn't like, I later on learned I needed that. I needed that strength that she had that I didn't have. And so learn that. Learn what each other's strengths and build each other up and help each other. So that was love, lead, and one more. Listen. James, we'll just go there very quickly. James, the first chapter. Hallelujah. James, the first chapter, and I just have to find that verse. I know it very well. About... Where is it about being swift to hear? 19, thank you. Verse 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And I'll read that in the Amplified Version. Understand this, my beloved brethren, let every man be quick to hear, a ready listener. Whoa. A ready listener. See, we are not, as a society, ready listeners. We are ready speakers. We are conjuring up our next thought while you're talking. You're in mid-sentence. I'm already going, oh, I got my next response. We're not listening to each other. We is not listening in day-to-day life. We're not listening in our relationships, with our spouses. We're not listening to our boss clearly, because if he says something and then you have to go back and ask again, you weren't really listening. Let's finish that verse. Let every man be quick to hear, a ready listener, slow to speak, slow to take offense, and to get angry. Boy, that works so well in the home. I remember as a young man, I took this scripture and I said, I'm gonna be slow to speak, slow to. It was early in my marriage too, and I'm like, I gotta be slow to speak. But I didn't know how to be slow to speak, because all I could do was deal with my emotions of being newly married and working with having a spouse now and trying not to get angry over the temperature in the house. That was our first big argument. She was very cold, and I was very warm. And our first disagreements were over the temperature in the house. So we've worked that out. Mostly it's kind of switched around now. So praise the Lord. That's what happens over time. So, man, if we can be quick to listen, slow to speak, that means hold back, be quiet, listen at everything your wife is saying. Listen to the degree that when she finishes speaking, you can say, honey, so you said such and such and such and such, and that makes you feel like such and such and such and such. And she goes, yeah. And she says, he heard me. You know, if you can stop and restate clearly what the person just said to you, just to kind of, you know, rehearse it and make sure you got it, that person automatically feels like half the battle is won because they actually heard me. Everybody wants to be heard. Everybody wants to know that someone is listening at, you know, what I have to say. All of us are important, and our perspective is important, especially in marriage. And about the heart, if you look at the word heart, I don't know if you ever noticed, but the three words in the middle of heart is ear, E-A-R. You know, so to the degree that you're listening, you're gaining the heart of that person, of your spouse or your boss or whatever. So stop. And we actually practiced this because I was the one always bringing home, why don't we try this and see if it works? And it did help us. It helped our marriage that because I was able to stop and slow down, really hear what my spouse was saying. And then we were able to communicate. And then she'd do the same thing. So you said, I went, yeah, I believe you got it. And then we can go on and get some things. So be swift to hear. Quick to listen. Take it in. Sure. You'll learn. You'll get answers if you just listen. Sure. If you just listen. You'll get all kind. I call them freebies. You get all kind of. I've already gotten freebies about what my daughter wants for Christmas. She didn't ask for it, but I listened at her. And when we got in the car, I said, Vanessa, April said she likes Ulta. It's some makeup store. Ulta. They don't have one around here. She likes, and Matt said he needs some new glasses. You will get freebies. You didn't have to ask for it. You just listened, and it'll bless your life. Pastor gives freebies all the time. Thank God that 3130 Garfield Road is paid in full. That ought to be part of your declaration, part of our confession. We're calling this church, and we're also calling 6075 Peach Street. In Erie, paid in full. Amen. People are coming in. He put a sign out there. It's a freebie. Yeah. Just to remind you, that church exists out there in Erie. Keep your prayers going for it. Okay, so we did love, guys listen, guys lead. All right, we're switching gears again. Another facet of how we can live a better, a stronger Christian life. How to be a blessing and a help to your pastors. Okay, we'll switch there. And I'm just going to pick right up on where I just was about all kind of freebies. Pastor says a lot of things. And man, we can take our hands off of things that he's saying and pray for that. Whatever's on his heart, I mean, this, your pastor, and, you know, I've been a Christian for, you know, we were born in church. But our parents were Christians. As soon as our mothers reared up or whatever, got out of the hospital after back then it was 6 weeks. We stayed home for 6 weeks. The mothers stayed home for 6 weeks. I know that's ridiculous today, right? But the mothers did, and then they went to church, but we were in church. So our pastors have been very important in our lives, and we've understood the importance of having a good pastor and a pastor that loves you, loves the church, loves the congregation. They're the most important person, one of the most important persons in your life. You know, you can rank them right up there with your mother, your father, your pastor. This is where we come to get the answers for our lives. So how do you be a blessing to your pastor? When pastor ministers the word, take the word, do it. Be a doer of the word. Also in the same chapter, James 1, verse 22. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Our answers come. I seldom have to call Pastor Tim to get counseling or about anything. I mean, most of my counseling with him is dealing with just, you know, natural church issues or things that are going on. Because I get my answers when I come and sit right over there and listen. I get all the counseling I need. Everything. I didn't even know I needed that. And the Lord is so good. I was like, oh, Father, thank you for helping me with that. It's like, oh, the answers are right here. You know, so grab the word. And then take it and then grow up in the word. Like that scripture says in 1 Corinthians 13 that we read about when I was a child. You know, there, I think in this particular room right now, there are a few babes in Christ. You know, all of us are growing up, and we're growing up so that we can, you know, you grow, you raise your child, you know, you grow them up so that they can raise their children and grow up. We grow up so that we can now be a help to somebody else.
Right.
You know, we can be a blessing to other people and help them. You know, we're not walking in with our head cast down.
Right.
What's wrong with you? Are you all right? Some people need that attention. And sometimes you have to do that. You have to give. But we want to endeavor to grow up. Grow up in Christ, spiritually mature Christian. So one way to do that is just take the word. Take the word. Be doers of the word. The answers are coming all the time. You don't even know what you need, but the Lord knows, and he uses a man of God, a woman of God, to stand here, and they have utterance. That means words that the Lord gives them that's inspired by the Spirit of God, because he knows what you all need, what we need, and he says, okay, here's an answer. Here's an answer, and somebody's grabbing. You know, I'm constantly like this. I would be grabbing every other time I'd just be doing that, you know, grabbing, because it's like, I needed that. Thank you. And you never get too old in Christ to keep grabbing. You know, I'm, you know, been saved a long time, but I'm grabbing. I'm grabbing because I need the word. So let's do that. How else can we be helpers to him? How about be a prayer helper? Okay, I'm going to read a scripture. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 8, New King James Version, if we have it. 2 Corinthians 1, 8, verse 11. For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble which came to us in Asia. And this is the Apostle Paul talking about his journeys and his ministering in different places and all that he's encountered. That we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, and he's a minister, he's a preacher. Just think of this as your pastor. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that he will still deliver us. You also helping together in prayer for us, that thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the gift granted to us through many. I want to go back to that statement. You also helping together in prayer for us. We can be prayer helpers if we would only pray for something besides our own issues and our own selves, you know, because we got that covered. Lord, me. But how about turning it around to this place, the place where we come Wednesday, Sunday to get help, to give our worship, to be a supply to be with our brothers and sisters, but where we come to learn how to live and to be a help. How about turning your affection to praying for your church, to praying for your pastor? And I'm going to describe some things about how we can pray. I have about 5 bullets here, and then we'll be wrapping up. But be a prayer helper. And one thing that you can do is, that God would give the minister, or Pastor Tim, utterance. This is found in Ephesians 6, verse 18. And let's go to that scripture very quickly. I guess when you feel the pressure of hurrying, we say very quickly. Very quickly. Okay. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, the preacher, Pastor Tim, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So one thing that we can do for Pastor Tim, I have this listed out. We as the worship team, we pray this before we come out. You know, we're not just up on the platform singing, you know, worshiping. No, we're bringing a supply to the church. We're bringing our help, our spiritual supply. We're saying, Father, we want what you want accomplished today in this church service. And here's one of the things that we pray, that God would give Pastor Tim utterance to boldly speak the word. Number two, that the minister would speak those utterance boldly as they ought. There's a lot of opposition. You've heard Pastor Tim say it from time to time. You can sense it in the spirit realm that when the word is going out, that it's not going in because people are, they got a wall up or for whatever. But we can pray for that, and we can be the people that are responders. You know, the people that are giving the amen, giving the help. We're in a church that says amen. It's the way it is. Be comfortable with it. It's okay. You know, there are other churches where it's super quiet, but that's not our church. Be happy about it. Whatever's going on in your church, be overwhelmed with it and with joy. Don't fight it. Don't fight it. Just say, this is how we do things. That's it. Number three, that the word would have free course in the service. And that's in 2 Thessalonians 3:1. And we'll go there really quick. But again, I'm encouraging you to, if you would, maybe want to take these notes and remember these bullets. What can I do? I want to do better. Pray. Pray for the service. Pray for Pastor Tim. Come ready to receive the word. Come to be a responder. Come to grab it, take it, go out and be a doer of it. 2 Thessalonians. Oh, is it on the, is it here? Thank you. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of God may run swiftly and be glorified just as it is with you. Can you put that in the New King James Version, please? I'm sorry, King James Version. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. Free course so that the word goes out and goes into the hearts of the people. Glorified, the glory is the Spirit of God. The glory is the presence of God. It's God. It's the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit would be glorified, that he go out while that word is being freely deposited in people's hearts, they're receiving it. The Holy Spirit is in there confirming, yep, do that. I'm strengthening you to do this, to change that. Praise God. Number four, that the word would be glorified. Well, we just covered that one. That the word would be glorified in the service. And number five, that the minister would be delivered from wicked and unreasonable men, for all men have not faith, is what the scripture says. There are folks that aren't for us. They come in for the pastor. You've heard Pastor Tim say it. Emails, different things. Well, we can stand up in prayer and know that God has got a shield around him, protecting us, protecting him as he goes. So let's be helpers of our pastor. Prayer helpers by praying, by being obedient, to just take the word in, You won't need the counseling session, not saying that you can't have one, don't get me wrong, but there'll be less and less of that if you just come in and just receive the word and take it in and be a blessing and help somebody else with it, you know. So I think that's it. I think we covered enough area. So if I can quickly recap, worship, you know, come in ready and come in ready to worship the Lord to whatever is being sung. It's the worship is to God. It's not about your personal deal, what you personally like. You know, it's about, I want to glorify Him. And this is what my church is doing right now. This is what we're singing. This is how we're doing it. I'm going to worship the Lord to that. Just develop an appetite for what's going on here. Love. Let's love one another. We talked about that. And marriage and singles, just do it. You heard it. You remember it. How to be a blessing to your pastor. So let's be a blessing to Pastor Tim. Let's believe with him what he's believed. When he gives the freebies, remember what the freebies are. Those things that are spoken that he don't even have to say it again. You got it, you jotting it down. Freebies are what your spouse said. I really want such and so. And you can tell she's not saying it to, you know, throw a hint, and maybe she is, and that's fine. You know, the Bible says that he that finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. Now, I remember saying that when I was young married, and I've been saying it throughout my marriage, because it's not just about when you're newlywed, oh, I got a wife, I obtained favor. It's for the whole endurance of the marriage. The whole endurance. I got favor to take care of her. So, praise the Lord. Amen. Love y'all. Thank y'all for receiving the word tonight. Pastor Brad, thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
That was a good, I like to call those the splatter barrel messages. Man, you covered everything. There's a sermon in every point there. Thank you so much, Reverend Tony, for doing that. Praise the Lord. I trust you're all fed, took notes. I'll tell you, the word is good. It's our help. It's our answer. And we're not going to get too much further. I know we're closing up here, but today happens to be a very special day. Some of you may know, some of you may not. Today is Reverend Tony's birthday today. So Reverend Vanessa said you're all married for 36 years. So you were married somewhere around 5 or 6 then? To do that?
I'll take that.
Now this might be a change, and I by no means have any musical abilities or talents, but wouldn't it be good if we could all sing happy birthday to the one that always leads in singing happy birthday? Why don't we go ahead and do that? Okay, Renee, if you want to play, if you could play happy birthday and start and lead us, we'll all join in.
Happy birthday.